You're listening to WRBB 104.9 FM Boston, and this is The Dark Forest. This is The Dark Forest, with your host, the Dungeon Master, and...
The Crypt Keeper.
And today we have our special guest...
The Wanted One.
The Wanted One. That's right. So I hear that you're wanted, you know, by the Great Tower, yeah, I think.
First of all, pleasure to be here.
Thank
you, Dungeon Master, for welcoming me to your dark abode. No, it's not actually the Great Tower that wants me. You're mistaken. It's the Council.
The Council.
That's interesting to me.
That's right. I mean, I'm sure the Great Tower wants you as well, right? As well as the council.
Who cares? About
primarily the council. They're the ones with the bounty. They're looking to pay out.
I wouldn't be too worried about the Great Tower wants. Talk about a fall from grace, really.
I know, really. You build a tower to the heavens, you know. You ever hear about, the Tower of Babel?
The Tower of Babel, of course.
They wouldn't be the first great tower.
I totally agree. The second time around, it's just not the same.
To fall from grace. I mean, oh my God. Speaking of towers, right?
Yeah.
I've been looking to buy a creaky, tall little tower, surveying, the lands. You know, you're a wizard, right?
Yeah, of course.
The wanted one, you know.
I believe we all are.
Spellcaster, yeah. Couple wizards among us here. It's just so hard to find like a decent tower that like has all like the amenities I want, you know. Like I looked at this one tower, and it was a great tower. Not the great tower. It was
perish the thought.
It was a good tower, right?
Crooked.
Quite crooked, you know, yet somehow still standing, you know, had this excellent just grand hall at the top, you know, with a excellent large sort of throne to sit in and sort of wait ominously for like adventurers to come by.
In one of the darker quarters of the forest, I hope.
Yeah. But on a hill, which was great, you know. You love a hilltop tower.
Of course.
Surveying the terrain. I saw this. Oh my God. I got this whole tour of a hill and a valley. No good.
No good.
You don't want a hill in the valley. You can't see anything from there.
Perish, like a hill and a swamp, forget that. That would be even worse.
Now, I have to be totally honest with both of you right now. I've never seen a great appeal to a hilltop tower. I've always preferred my towers isolated, remote, in places where, you know, nobody can see me. You know, if I can see people, that means they can see me. I don't want that. I want to be casting my magic in private, you know.
Really?
I am the wanted one.
That's true.
That makes sense. Like a mountain of some sort?
Well, a mountain's high up and can be seen from a great distance. I prefer something maybe hidden away. A valley's not bad, but I've actually recently purchased a property, a tower sunken into the ground.
Wow.
Once a part of a floating city, this tower has since collapsed and sunk into a sheet of ice.
Oh, really?
Yep.
It's a nice setup you have there.
Yeah, I'm lucky. The furniture was all bolted down, so a quick casting of some, you know, trivial anti-gravity spells and I can just walk on the ceiling.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, the council, they're not going to find you there.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not going to find you.
They're not going to find me anywhere, but being careful doesn't help.
Yeah.
That doesn't hurt.
For sure. But I do worry that with such an underground tower, you're not going to have a nice sort of open balcony from which to sort of cast lightning from your fingers
into
the heavens and sort of intimidate people. And the thing is, you can't have a hilltop tower that is in a remote location. It's just got a practical benefit of, you know, you can see any, you know, like adventurers trying to sort of storm your castle.
You know, if it's remote enough, the adventurers aren't going to make it there.
That's true.
And if you've made peace with the creatures of the forest, you know, a remote location might be just the right place for you. If you're at peace with them, you'll have no worries of, you know, a night walker or, you know, a shadow crawler spotting your abode and coming for you.
The hard part is making peace with those creatures, though. They can be quite terrifying and ominous.
Well, Dungeon Master, perhaps you could provide us like a tip or two on making peace with these creatures. I know you've been in the Dark Forest for quite some time.
Well, you know, generally offerings, you know, if you can offer them one housing, you know, a nice sort of spacious barracks in which to house your army, is a good idea. They'll work for you and you know, food, keep them well fed, you know, no creatures will turn on you like hungry creatures. I'll say that much.
Oh, of course.
So I mean, you
I'm
might
sure
have to make
had
a
run in with a hungry creature. You
yeah.
Know,
oh, haven't we all
up on the wrong side of the Shadow Realm?
You might have to, you know, exactly. You might have to go to a couple nearby villages. You know, harvest some of the people there, and you know, bring them back.
Yeah, I mean, personally, a little play I like to do is I, you know, pretend to be an old friendly wizard. I'll go to a town. I'll say I'm recruiting some adventurers for a, you know, great journey, you know, gonna slay the big bad creature in the forest.
Yeah, I actually like to leave a little task up on the bulletin board of the local tavern.
Yep.
Wow. Soliciting advice.
They think they're doing it reluctantly, but they're really all for it. You drag them right into the forest and, you know, the rest is history.
Classic approach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. What other features of like a good, you know, creaky wizard tower?
Well, this was something I got at earlier. Was the impossible geometry is really what sells me.
Yes.
On
it,
you know?
Oh, especially if it's ever changing.
And then out, and then back in. Yes, interior. The interior, you cannot forget about the interior. Now, yeah. I like something sparsely decorated. Maybe even like 14 of the floors consecutively, just spiraling stairs. Maybe they move. Maybe they've got old creaky portraits that move, you know, as well.
Yeah.
You know, the more moving, you know, mundane objects, you know.
Yeah. Ever shifting.
It adds to the appeal. It adds to the ambiance, the atmosphere of your wizardly dwelling. That's what you want.
And particularly if you can have it sort of labyrinthine, you know, from the entrance, you know, it's got all these twists and turns and splits to take, and then you enter a room and it's like, oh, there's all these sort of, mm-hmm. you know, creatures sitting there waiting for you to do battle. That's pretty good.
Sorry, Crypt Keeper?
Yes,
Crypt Keeper. So, Tubby, you know a thing or two about keeping crypts and, I suppose, towers, too.
Oh, of course.
What are the best kind of creatures to allow into your tower?
Into your tower.
Yeah, you know, there's obviously the mutually beneficial, like, giant spider that might, you know, catch somebody in their webs if they come in your front door. But do you know of any other, like, you know, creatures, something that might help somebody, you know, just add a little flavor and protection to their tower?
Of course. Well, goblins, you know, goblins can be quite tricky, quite pernicious. They might steal things from you while you're not looking, take baubles. But I found that they can also be quite helpful if you find the right goblin, you know where to look. They like to patrol caves, swamps, like those kinds of areas. You ask, you know, you willing to help provide some home security for my wizardly dwelling in exchange for some trinkets, some gems? I found that they're quite willing to barter with you for the right price, of course.
It's actually funny you mentioned that. The Dungeon Master and I have actually both allowed a goblin into our abode. And
really?
Yeah, so this is interesting. We actually do – we have a goblin roommate.
Yeah, we
at
just
our
call him the Goblin.
Current place,
you know, if there's only one Goblin in the room, they don't mind being called the Goblin. You know,
yes, of course,
it really doesn't bother them.
It's a different story, but there's one. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he's actually pretty chill.
He has enchanted me multiple times, and
well, that's true. But you know,
I'm sure how it goes living with a goblin, right?
It takes me every time he gets me. It takes me a few months to clear it. Actually, originally I wanted to kick him out, actually, and then you know, the trick with a goblin is, you know, skin contact. They have, you know, a surprising, you know, ability to just really, really get those powerful spells through your wards upon skin contact.
Wow,
so that's the main thing I would tell you if you are keeping a goblin in your crypt. That's the one thing I'd say. Wear gloves when you shake hands. You know, mask can't hurt either.
A good crypt keeper is never found without their gloves. Of course,
you do not want a goblin to enchant you. You know, like our goblin. You know, as cool as he is, and as much as he can hang, he does request, you know, a lot of, you know, artifacts, trinkets, baubles.
Yeah, I'm paying about double what I pay in rent,
all of the above,
just to provide this goblin with trinkets and magic items.
Wow, really? What's the most expensive magic item he's asked for?
Ooh, oh my gosh, yeah. Probably the Orb of Elskalling.
Really?
Wow.
He wanted that just straight up?
I
no barter?
I was enchanted. I didn't even think twice. He said he wanted it.
You gave it to him?
you know that big sack he carries right in front of him?
Right.
Yes, of course.
I just dropped it right in. I never saw it again.
Oh, my God.
I assume he pawned it off, maybe lost it gambling or something. He's
probably
got a problem, but yeah.
Who knows where it is now?
We support him nonetheless.
If anybody on the air has, knows where I can get a new Orb of Elskalling, maybe you bought the one off my own goblin, but yeah, please call in and let us know.
Please do let us know. We would love to find that orb.
Yeah, we would love to know. The Ultraviolet in chat is saying that goblins have gross hands anyway. I actually don't think that that's a very cool thing to say. You know, goblins, they actually keep cleaner than you'd expect.
Yeah, well, their fingernails grow naturally long, but,
right.
You know, they wash their hands, they bathe like just like any of us.
Most goblins I've met do a good job of keeping it clean under there. So,
but no, I could see, I mean, that's not totally unfair. I can see how the long, slender fingers could come across that way.
Hang on, it seems like we're getting a quick call in.
I'm just calling in to say that I actually found the orb.
Oh,
the orb has been found.
The Domancer is calling in, found the orb.
Yeah. It was It was in my my dresser drawer, actually.
Oh,
wow.
It was in the dresser drawer.
So this is the Dome Master who lives in the abode alongside the
goblin. With the goblin and us.
Yeah. Okay, well, give that back to me then.
Yeah, get that back to
me. We need that, like, now, preferably.
Yeah, I gave that over when I was enchanted. You have no legal claim to it. I know possession is 9/10 of the law, but...
After your potion brewing session, just, like, making sure.
Look, these aren't the kind of questions that we want people calling in for, you know?
So
just hang on.
Call back if you need, like, some advice on something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, we got them off the line.
what a guy, right?
Oh my god, yeah. My goodness.
You take my Orb of Elves calling and then ask me about doing the dishes.
I know,
not okay.
Tell me,
Dungeon Master, who's in the dish debt in this apartment?
Well, you know, I'll tell you who's in dish debt. The goblin. Look, I love that guy. We love him.
But
dude needs to learn to clean up after himself. That's all I'm saying. You know, it's been one tray of slop too many. That's all I'm saying. You know, like one bowl of gruel too many.
That actually may have been my bowl of gruel.
Your bowl of gruel.
I've been
you. Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. I can't help a bowl of gruel. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, a good bowl of gruel does go a long way. You know, strengthens your immune system.
When you're out of slop, there's no other option.
Yeah.
That's true.
If it's what it takes, you know, I won't turn up my nose to a plate of gruel, a bowl of gruel.
A great green slop recipe recently.
Did you?
Yeah, it incorporates a red slop as the base, which is the real secret to a stable green slop.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so you're wanted.
Yeah, I mean...
By the council.
Who isn't, right, these days?
Right. Well, so speaking of that...
You have some misdemeanors out, but I have felony crimes against magic.
Yeah.
violations of the Camelot Convention, I guess.
Yeah.
Soul magic, chaos magic, you know, blood binding, the usual suspects, right?
Right.
The
usual stuff. The council will dish out charges for anyone just trying to deal with a little bit of soul magic, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of mischief, a little bit of merrymaking. With blood magic, as one does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually recently had an influence interaction with the council. So they were mad, right? Get this, that I tried to perform a dark ritual to summon the ancient blood demon, Acheron. Acheron, right?
Yep.
You know, so like... The problem was...
Be careful with that guy.
Right, so...
I hope you had the...
I tried to summon him, and then... Oh, my God. Tell me... The Wizard Council, not happy about that. So I had to show up. I had to put on the, you know, my formal stars and moons, you know.
The whole gear? The whole getup?
But you won't believe it. I had a tear in my robe, and I'm like, I'm going to look unprofessional showing up in this.
Well, you know, frankly, with the council, it doesn't matter if that was, you know, the great blood demon Acheron or, you know, a minor one like... Kuzaloth, right?
Right.
For them, it's just about power. It's just about control. It's about taking away your freedom.
They'll get you for any demon, any blood demon.
To them, it doesn't matter. Regardless of order.
They get you for an imp, you know?
For real.
They don't care.
It's wild.
It's about controlling you. You know, they're not actually... They'll claim that they're worried about the catastrophic effects that this blood demon may have on the citizenry or, you know, the surrounding area. No.
Right.
No, it's about controlling the wizards of Boston.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say.
And it's horrible. But you know, it is what it is. I had to show up. I had to show up for the hearing. I could not show up to the hearing.
Like it's like ever heard of the First Wizard Amendment?
right. Haven't you ever heard of the First Wizard?
The right to summon blood demons.
The council just doesn't care about such matters.
Our forefathers fought for this.
What don't they get about shall not be infringed? Right? That's all I have to say. I'm sorry. I know we don't want to get political on this show, so.
No. There's time and a place, and I think this might be the time.
It's just somebody had to say it.
I would like to
protect the First Wizard Amendment.
The tourist has asked in chat, Boston exists in the Dark Forest? Boston doesn't exist in the Dark Forest. Boston just exists.
Boston is a place.
And so does the Dark Forest.
And we live there. And the Dark Forest does exist also, and it's another place. So please don't ask stupid questions. anyway.
I don't know what you were thinking asking that. It was really quite rude of you, quite unprofessional. You should know better at this point as a frequent listener of our discussions here.
So I'm trying to go to my hearing, right?
Yeah.
I got rips in my Stars and Moons. I got a ticket to the Wizard Tailor.
Yep.
To patch that up.
For the viewers who don't know, the Stars and Moon is the formal wizard garb. If you
think like what Merlin would wear,
you
know, formal wear for wizards. You gotta wear it to any council hearing.
Your graduations from magic school.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Hearings, weddings, wizard weddings.
No good wizard is found at that one.
So I stopped by the tailor. I got it patched up while I was there. You know, got my hat ironed out so it's nice and straight, standing tall.
Oh, wonderful.
And you know, I don't like the council, but you gotta dress to impress, right? Council doesn't like dark magic, so I gotta show that I respect.
Because at the end of the day, you're not doing it for the council, you're doing it for the judge. Totally get it.
Exactly.
You know how to play the game. You know how to play it well.
But so I actually did succeed in summoning this, summoning Acheron, the ancient blood demon.
What did you call upon him to do for you?
And well, you know, I was just trying to make a deal with them, but it did end up casting the ancient wizard city of Wind Harbor into about 5 days of darkness where, you know, variety of hellspawn wreaked havoc.
If you're living in a wizard city, you should be insured against these kind of issues, wizard
That's
insurance.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? You should also be capable of, you know, surviving in a five days of darkness, you know. I know wizards who have, you know, seen the other side of, you know, 1,000 years of darkness, right? So
5 days.
So I really don't want to. Yeah. I'm sure you've got a class action coming against you. Frankly, if I were the judge on the case, I would simply dismiss it.
The odds are in your favor.
Can I just say, what a literal city name. I mean, Wind Harbor. What? You've got a lot of wind in a harbor. Like, so does Chicago, right? Like the Windy City. Yeah. But they didn't call it Wind Harbor. They just called it Chicago. So, I don't know. Wizards, they're not the most creative namers of things, right?
I'm sorry. Hold on a second. I'd like to say chat, the tourist, Wordle 651, 2 out of 6. Are you trying to cast spells at us? Are you insulted at what we've said to you and you're trying to cast foul hexes at our location? This will not do. You do that again and you're being excommunicated forever.
Yeah. Yeah, watch
yourself.
You've got to stop such things.
If you keep going on this path, I swear there will be riots in the streets.
Calm down. Frankly, I'm a little insulted that they thought such a trivial enchantment would work. I know for a fact that I cast warding spells on the whole studio before coming in.
Of course,
I would not be surprised if both of you did as well.
You know, I usually
do before the show.
To any viewers out there, you know. Go ahead and cast another spell. You know, give us your worst. You know, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, that just like that spell that I cast, not my proudest moment, right? Not my...
The summoning of...
summoning of the great...
Of Acheron. Of
Acheron, yes.
Not my greatest choice, but like, I mean, he didn't kill everybody.
Ah!
Anyway, like I was saying, good thing it didn't kill everybody.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, if you're a good and proper wizard city and you're killed by a single blood demon, well, maybe, you know, it was about time.
Right. And it didn't kill everybody, so I'm just saying, the council's charges on me on this, a little bit ridiculous. 5 wizard years in wizard prison? Wild. Fortunately, I have a good wizard lawyer. They're actually a very good time wizard, so let's just say those 5 wizard years I'm serving, they're not going to be very long.
Yeah, I would presume that they already know, actually, that would come of the trial if you got a good time wizard lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They should know what's up. The trial is not but a formality, of course.
Yeah. Time magic has never been my, you know, greatest field of expertise. Frankly, I find it confusing. I hired a time secretary one time, and, you know, that resulted in, you know, just last week I had, like, a package arrive before, you know, I even ordered it. And then,
yeah.
Wow.
What do you know, the next day I have to, like, put in the $50, like, order form, you know?
What was the package?
It was like an underwater like breathing apparatus, which evidently was useful.
You know what?
Yeah.
Wait, because of the flooding.
And wait 2 weeks because you're gonna need that. That's you're gonna order. You're gonna need it, and you're gonna go. Oh, I gotta order that.
Yeah.
And guess what? You've got it because it came 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, that's the advantage of a time secretary.
Yeah.
You know,
it's confusing, but it has its perks.
Generally, that's one of the perks of Wizard Amazon.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have admitted that on air because this will be brought up if I'm ever, you know, captured by the council and brought to trial.
Don't worry, the council doesn't have to know about this. Yeah,
they do have a ban on time magic.
Yeah, I do actually. We do have several spells on this broadcast that I would be impressed if a member of the council manages to listen to this show. That's all I'm saying.
Wizard encryption is a powerful tool, believe me.
That it is.
The Ultraviolet says a temporary secretary, 5 out of 10 pun. I like the temporal, but it's a little wordy.
Do you know the reference? Temporary secretary is a song that they're referencing. So temporary, pretty close.
Seven out of 10.
7 out of 10.
Pending peer review.
You got a few more points
there. It's still a little wordy, I would say.
Ultraviolet. A little bit wordy, yeah.
A little bit. It's okay.
Yeah, if you revise that and get back to us, let us know.
Of course.
So, man, we've been dealing with that gnome infestation at our place.
Oh, I don't even want to think about gnomes. Yeah. I've had enough of gnomes for many lifetimes.
You know, hands in the air. I'll take the blame for this. Yes, I've been bringing gnomes home. I've actually brought 3 gnomes home this week.
Well, you know they're not
the bee
leaving,
gnome,
right?
The mushroom they're gnome, still here. And then the 2-dimensional mushroom gnome.
Yeah, well, you know, I could tell they're here, right? Because the other day I tried to I was going to open the door to the bathroom. Guess what? It was slightly ajar. I opened it up. There's a bucket of water on top. Pours right on me.
Classic gnome
pours right
mischief.
On me when I opened the door.
That very same day, I walked straight into, you know, like plastic wrap, straight in the door.
Well, and you want to talk about plastic wrap. I go to use the toilet. Guess what?
The pee bounces right
off. Saran wrap. Pee bounces right off. Yep. I thought I thought it was an enchantment at first. I thought they had enchanted my my toilet.
Nothing so magical. It's just pure physical trickery.
Yep.
And you all are lucky that you've never had
of a gnome infestation.
Oh yeah.
You're gonna notice that your snacks are, you know, disappearing at a rate much faster than usual.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bag of trail mix, you know, bought it, you know, 25%. I go and look, and it's, you know, 25% remaining. Right.
Yeah.
That's a primary sign.
All your snacks gone.
Yep.
Right. Or you wake up and you've peed yourself.
Yep.
And how that happened? You look to the right. Your hands in a little bowl of warm water.
You go look at the thermostat, and it's, you know, January. The AC is on, and it's set to 55 degrees.
Yep.
Right.
Your TV turns on in the middle of the night. It's on auction footage for some reason. The gnomes are trying to do some bidding.
Know, if you find your head being, you know, cartoonishly smushed by an anvil that was precariously, you know, leveraged over
wizard
your head.
Wizard gnomes. You wake up. You wake up in the middle of the night, shaving cream on your face. Gnome put shaving cream on your hand, tickle your face.
Yep.
Classic
gnome maneuver. Right, time.
A little feather on your face. Comically large feather, usually, actually.
Yeah.
Or you wake up and all your clocks are, they're set an hour off.
You know, look, it's easy to sit around and complain about gnome infestations, but really, at the end of the day, all you got to do, give them a worthwhile offering, you know?
Right.
Give them a weird little trinket, you know, maybe something that winds up.
That's true.
You know, anything with like a little click, click. you know, and then it'll like walk on its own. Gnomes love that. That will entertain the gnome for weeks.
What I do is, because you can entertain a gnome, but you want to get the gnome out of your place. So what I do is usually, and I find this to be very effective, I put such a trinket underneath a cardboard box propped up by a stick with a little string. And when the gnomes go to retrieve this trinket, I pull the stick away. Box drops on them, catch and release. Yeah. I take them outside.
Yeah, you know, Dungeon That's Master, amazing. You know.
I let him keep the trinket.
I would caution against kicking a gnome out of your house, because something goes wrong. The gnome gets bonked on the head by the box. The next thing That's you true. Know, his, you know, 35 closest nephews have shown up to your house, and they're disassembling it brick by brick and walking in a single file line away with your home. You wake up, and you're just a single bed sitting on, like, a, you know, dirt lot, you know?
If you're lucky, they've left you with, like, a lamp or something, even maybe just a candle.
But yeah. I find that under such comical procedures, gnomes do tend to respect the maneuver and be on their merry way.
Yep.
Upon being caught in the box.
Yep. Track. You just have to be, you know, confident in your ability to play the game like the gnomes do, because it's very easy some, like, debutante to, like, set up the little gnome trickery and, oh, no, you misconfigured it. And instead of, you know, the, you know, piano, you know, falling from over their head and leaving a big swollen bump, you know, it smushes the gnome, you know.
Yeah, we can't have
and
that.
You need to have the correct, like, hijinks parameters set, right?
That's true.
Don't go in blind, you know the craft, I would say. And frankly, I think you're underestimating the advantages of gaining a gnome ally, you know.
A gnome ally, sure, but you know, stick to your own garden. This is my home.
Yeah, I mean, but what happens when, you know, it's a dark and stormy night, you know, thunder blaring, you lose power, you know, you were just about to go out and recharge, you know, your magical gems, you know, buy a new set, you're out of potion ingredients,
yeah,
and some creatures of the night come into your home. Who are you going to rely
I'd
on
like to, see them try,
to set,
sure.
you know, I've said your magic's run dry, your
okay.
gems
are... Okay, all right, right my warding spells have worn off.
You have spells, but you're just about to replace your gems. You're just about to recast your wards, and it's a dark and evil night. You know, it happens twice a year, right? Okay? Who are you going to trust, you know, to, like, litter your house with, you know, cartoonish, goofy traps that will stop the ghosts and creatures of the night in their tracks.
Like a bucket of paint on the top of the stairs, perhaps.
Yeah, or even, like, you know, well, a gnome would, you
hot, know. Hot doorknob.
You know?
Hot doorknob.
Yeah, well,
thumbtacks on the stairs.
Thumbtacks on the
you
stairs.
You see, gnomes are going to be silly when they're dealing with a corporeal creature, like, anything that bleeds, really. But when it comes to a ghost or a specter or a shade, wraith, banshee, or whatnot,
any
ghouls,
sort of
ghasts,
phantom.
You know? Yeah, phantoms as well. Shadows. A gnome is not going to hold back. They are going to destroy that thing. They are going to banish it. They are going to, you know, disintegrate it. Whatever it takes to get that thing out of their home.
Yeah, no, that's true. Gnomes are very, very territorial. You know, once they've adopted a new garden, you know, they're going to do everything they can to defend that.
Yeah. Yeah, especially like a gnomish gardenist would do such a thing.
Right.
Some species of gnomes
they're
going to
see any invaders as someone trampling their flowers.
Yeah.
As equivalent.
Gnomish dragoness as well. They're quite territorial and more protective of their you know, possessions.
Certainly.
I actually do have a story related to this.
Do tell.
Yes. So once I was in the forest, I was trying to hunt the mythical blank banshee. I was looking for any evidence, any ectoplasm, any spare goop that this banshee may have left. And I had traced the banshee into a particular dwelling of the forest, this meadow with brilliant flowers. And I had almost cornered the banshee, but I saw in a tree perched up on a branch the laughing gnome. And we had stumbled into the laughing gnome's territory. And that gnome laughed louder than I've ever heard anything laugh before in my life, and it scared the banshee right off. Never saw it again. So gnomes can be very effective against wraiths, against other foul specters and spooks of the night, but it did cost me a great discovery that night.
Yeah, that's actually more impressive than any of you might know, because, you know, a banshee is notorious for its deafeningly loud wail. So if that gnome laughed loud enough to scare off a banshee, well, you best believe that laugh was hideous.
It was
hysterical. It was cackling.
That was the most hysterical guffaw I'm sure that anyone has heard.
Yeah. It was quite something, let me tell you.
Believe me, audience, this was no sensible chuckle.
Oh, no.
Certainly
perish
not.
The thought. Simply perish the thought.
Certainly not. Oh, man. Let me tell you how not to deal with a gnome infestation, just real quick.
Of course.
Okay. Circle back a little bit, just a little bit.
Like, we know how to deal with one, but it's important how to not deal with one.
Let me tell you, because I've seen people try to do this. Shoot it. Don't. Do not try and shoot it with your gun, because you know that that's going to blow right back at, towards you. Is what's going to happen. The gnome's going to put a comical plug in the end of your shotgun, and it's going to blow right back at you, and your beak's going to go on the wrong side of your head. So don't do that.
Yep.
Classic slapstick.
And if you don't have a beak, you're about to grow one.
Of course.
Yeah. Do not try to chase them around.
Yep. It's going to go right side, left side, peek its hand out of the peek its head out of the garbage can, you know.
you're going to go in and out of every door in your house, you know. Yes. You're going to be running through the hallway and you're not going to get anywhere.
Don't even think about it. You'll be winded long before the gnome gets there.
You're going to be winded and the gnome's going to show up behind you and crash into and then turn around and run the other way. It's not going to work.
Not going to work.
You're going to heal. Don't be surprised if, you know, by some magical incantation, the Benny Hill theme comes on.
Oh, the Benny Hill theme.
Yes.
It just might.
When that comes on, you know you're not catching the gnome, and you know the silly thing is they never give up in, you know, a timely fashion.
They always
take it way too far.
Yeah.
They chase when the race is already over.
I never understood how they just manifest that song out of the ether. How do gnomes do that? Has anyone learned their secrets?
You know, our buddy Duvendir. A good gnome friend of ours.
Shout out to Duvendir.
Shout out.
Great gnome. Great gnome.
Check out their music.
Check out their, they're playing a show. Oh. A show tomorrow, today, technically.
Where? Wow.
Online.
Oh, online. Like,
that's like awesome.
2 o'clock or something.
Check out Duvendir on Twitter.
Check it out. Duvendir on Twitter.
I've you know.
Great gnome. Great gnome. Love that.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
I've asked Duvendir how to get it to play.
Yes.
No answer. It's a well guarded gnome secret.
Of course.
Oh yeah. Well guarded, like the gardens of the gnomes.
Yep. Yes.
Gnomes gardeners.
They tend to their crops very carefully.
Yeah, like etymologically, like we're not exactly sure whether the garden phrase comes from, you know, the gnomes are garden, you know, either guarding it or whether it's, you know, a garden of like vegetables, right?
Right.
Mm. The, you know, linguists out there are just not certain.
I see in chat somebody is definitely playing a piano. We hear no such thing. Those might be gnomes in your building playing sort of practical trick on you. You might want to get that checked out. Just take everything you said on air into practice. Yeah, yeah. Do not shoot. Do not chase. You'll figure it out.
I hear no such piano, so, Yeah. I mean, unlikely.
Might be the gnomes. Sorry.
I would proceed with caution is the one thing I would say. Yeah. Eyes open, you know. If you're tiptoeing in one direction, about to peek around the corner, make sure to look behind you. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Wow. Man, you were talking about AC earlier. Gnomes might turn on your AC, you know, in the dead of winter.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Classic.
I noticed last week.
Little gnome goon. Infestation. Prank.
It was, what, 63
AC?
Years?
Doesn't quite make sense, does it?
Right. Well, to anybody who's taken seventh grade science class, you know what entropy is, right?
Right.
Oh, of course.
Right. You know, a closed system is going to increase its entropy. It's going to get hotter, right? So the idea of a non-magical machine that makes things colder, you know, is laughable.
Doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense at all.
It's frankly the biggest, you know, prank that wizards have ever pulled on, you know.
A lot of people think AC stands for air conditioning. I'll tell you, it stands for Arctic conjuration.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
It's a very common misconception.
It's ice wizards.
For those of you who you know, own your home, I'd say if you're renting, don't do this. But if you own your home, go to your air conditioner right now. Crack that thing open. Go right into the center, and you know. Sue me if I'm wrong. There is going to be a tiny, shrunken down Arctic wizard in there, Arctic conjurer, and he is hard at work keeping you cool and, like, you know, chilly. You know, he's probably on break right now. He probably has a couch set up there.
Or,
maybe he's watching, you know, television.
I mean, yeah. Or an ice crystal.
Ice crystals are a very cheap method.
I mean, but ice crystals tend to wear out, right?
Yeah. And they're frankly more expensive than just, you know, outsourcing to, like, you know, some like recent like graduate wizard, you know.
True.
Looking for an entry level position.
That way you're guaranteed the wizard power, you know. You don't need an ice crystal.
Maybe a wizard that took like a less practical degree in like, you know, like illusionism or like, you know, scroll keeping. I don't know.
Yeah,
which is frankly just out of fashion. Yep. Store your spells in a staff, not a scroll. Everybody knows it's way better.
I know. I mean, what organizations are still hiring like scroll maintainers these days?
You know what I've heard? In addition to staffs, I've heard people using magic wands lately. Thoughts on magic wands as a spellcasting method?
The wand versus staff argument, I'm actually really interested in this one. What do you think about this?
Look, okay. Nobody can deny there is nothing more essential, aside from perhaps the hat and cloak, to a wizard's getup than their staff.
Yes.
You know, just a gnarled oak branch, you know,
that's
perhaps
true,
with some gem inlaid in the
well,
end.
Well, I agree.
You know.
Many would argue, though.
But... No, I know where you're going. The wand.
The wand is quite in fashion these days.
It's quite in fashion.
Now, I'm not a wand person myself. I'm staff through and through. Well, primarily, I don't use any sort of focus like that. I primarily cast to my fingertips. But if I have to pick wand or staff, it's staff any day for me.
Yeah, yeah. Now, where I was going with this was...
yeah, please continue.
Yeah, the staff is the most stylish, but... I do confess I carry a wand on me at all times because if I am, you know, beset by a rival wizard, a rival creature, I need to draw that thing quickly. And, you know, that staff can be unwieldy in close quarters.
That's true. What kind of wand are you wielding? Long, short, you know, build, make?
Short wand.
Short wand.
Yep.
Something portable, quick.
Yep. Weave from the shadow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yep.
Where'd you get that?
Yeah, so I was a little bit of a complicated. There was an easier way I could have done it, but I now know. But five, 6 years ago, I dreamwalked into the dark forest.
Wow, quite the feat.
I remember. I recall.
Yep. Psychic shadow latched onto my mind, took it back with me. I spent better part of 2 weeks tracking this thing through the streets of Boston. We went by Fenway, downtown, all the way up to Cambridge is where I caught it, you know, right on the Harvard campus. Bound this thing, you know, unmade it, and weaved its shadow into a, you know, little twig I found on the sidewalk.
Well, that's got to be pretty powerful then, especially if you have the personal connection to it.
Oh, yes.
If this thing came through your dreams, I can only that's got to be a powerful wand.
The longer the journey, the more powerful the spell casting is attached to that wand. It's quite the artifact you have.
Yeah, I mean, it makes up where I'm lacking in some areas. You know, you all know I've had issues controlling my magic in the past.
Oh, of course.
The number of wizards I've met that try to overcompensate for their lack. They try to compensate for their lack of magic with, you know, a potent wand.
A wand is a compensator for a lack of control, which is the field I'm lacking in.
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
You want a big blast of like
soul
energy
magic
in some direction.
A bit unwieldy.
Right. Yeah. Call me up. Right. But getting these complicated spells together, I have to spend a lot of time, careful planning, because you know, you never know when. All of a sudden, you know, you're going to try to duplicate yourself and, oh no, you made a, you know, rookie mistake in the binding and now you have an evil twin coming after you.
Oh, right? No.
Oh my.
Yeah. Twin doppelganger magic is not to be messed with. That can go unwieldy very quickly, quicker than you can blink.
The problem with that is, you know, the more powerful you are, the more powerful your doppelganger.
Yep.
And that's not going to go well.
Yep.
I've actually had to deal with a shadow self before and eventually managed to dispel them.
What I found quite hilarious about that incident was that being the evil wizard yourself, this was actually a good wizard. A good
right. My shadow self was actually more of a being of light,
yeah, I found
which is kind of ironic.
The way you caught – I think he was picking up garbage off the sidewalk when you –
Yeah. He was actually helping an old man – an old lady cross the street.
Oh,
I pushed him into the green line and he was killed instantly.
Karmic balance is being restored. That's how you draw
a
doppelganger.
Yeah.
Well, for those any listeners on the Wizard Council, allegedly.
Yeah.
The incident is still being reviewed.
Again, I don't know how the Wizard Council is going to hear this show, but
the Dungeon Master or someone
they're listening.
You know,
some individual out there may have done that allegedly.
You don't know anything.
Yeah. Oh, man. That co-op search? Tough.
Yep.
Tough. Trying to look for an internship out there, but all you get in these stuck-up wizards looking for an apprentice, and, like, I'm not looking for an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
Well, what are you looking for?
Well, personally, I would look for, like, a proper study under some old, wise, but evil, you know, messed up wizard.
Not in some great
tower. For all these, like, great tower, like, all the applications I can find are for these, like, great tower studied individuals.
Yeah,
who
you want an apprentice, you know, or do you want somebody that's going to, you know, carry a 5-foot stack of books onto your 16-foot tall bookshelf, you know?
For real.
Oh, yeah.
I know, like, I know that and it's so hard to get an apprenticeship these days because so many apprentices in the past just want to, you know, take the lazy way out, you know, animate a bunch of brooms to clean things up. But, like, you know, I'm pretty hardworking. I feel like I could do some real – make a real difference. I don't know. Any dark wizards out there hiring, let me know. Let me know.
I know some dark wizards out there that are hiring.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I'll admit that I do, but my applications are still in.
Okay.
And I want to wait till I hear back before I, you know.
The job market is tough right now for us wizards. You know, we're trying to make it by, but it's tricky.
I got it. You don't want me showing up.
Even among the dark wizards,
you
do have to vet the options because, you know, some of these postings are just looking for someone to, you know, power their spells. You know, you'll be, you know, burned to a husk within weeks.
Oh, they'll suck you dry. They'll take everything that you're worth. It's quite the shameful display.
Yeah, and I mean that's part of what I'm wanted for. I've been guilty of doing the same postings.
Oh, I mean, well, I'm sure with you got a perfectly justifiable reason, of course, for any such incident that may or may not have occurred with you, you know?
No, I just did it for fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tourist in chat has some nasty things to say about goblins. We don't appreciate that kind of terminology here. We don't stand for that. Please educate yourself.
Don't appreciate such horrible, slanderous words.
Don't bring this discourse into our discussion here.
I'm sure there's some goblins in the audience. You know, while we may have, you know, some personal gripes with our goblin roommate, we're sure that, you know, you're stand-up fellas.
Take it up with – they say take it up with the garden. This is the dark forest. There's no garden here.
Yeah,
what are
I don't
you
know
talking
what
about?
I don't know any dark gardens.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
The
dark garden. So it's not in the dark forest.
I know that much.
You know the meadows, like the fairy meadows, the ones that you're banned from for picking apart all the pixies?
Right, for harvesting them.
You'll never see those wings again.
Yeah. So
or their dust.
For those of you who don't know.
Grind them up,
It's a great place to harvest spell components, but, you know, once you... overstepped the line like the dungeon master here did, you are simply not going to be allowed back. I in my time there have hands off. I haven't dipped my hand in the honeypot too much. In the darkest corner in the Reaches, there is a dark garden which is home to many a gnome. Not much of a secret. It is just remote.
Yeah.
The gnomes there are quiet people. They focus mostly on, you know, befriending small creatures and, you know, creating weird little contraptions.
Contraptions and gadgets and other such gizmos of the garden, of its resources.
Yep. And these are less of the, like, steampunk clockwork variety and more of the, like, you know, biopunk variety.
Ooh, fascinating. Yep. They've developed their own niche here. You don't just get, like, the typical steampunk stuff. Yep. It's something new. These gnomes have innovated. I'm proud of them.
Yep. Shout out to the Dark Garden out there.
Shout out to the Dark Garden. Good work. They're doing good work, you know.
Yeah. Good for them.
I wanted to bring up.
Of course.
I hear, the wanted one that you got an omen this morning. You got an omen this morning. I heard, be careful or you could fall for some tricks today. You got a warning.
Yep, it was posted on my door.
Now, do you think that has to do with, you know, the date.
Right.
Because you know it's a holiday, right?
Yes.
Very special holiday.
It's April Fool's Day, which is actually, for gnomes, the most important holiday. It is their basically their biggest holiday. Well,
and I'm sure as you both know, the most important part about this April Fool's Day is that it is also aligned with the gnome calendar.
Yeah.
So it is April Fool's Day on both the human and the gnome calendar, which we haven't seen in 200 wizard years.
We are even forecasting 300. An unprecedented amount of hijinks.
Yep.
Tomfoolery, japery, chicanery, the works, anything you can think of and more.
You know.
Yeah, so I just wanted to bring a little bit of awareness to this because a lot of, you know, humans don't know about this, but...
it's okay that you don't. It's just, you know, you never had the chance to be educated.
You know, April Fool's Day is named after a gnome. April Fool, the titular gnome of the holiday, was a gnome. Given name April, family name Fool, was a gnome.
Cousins of the buffoon family.
Cousins of the buffoon family, that's right.
We know him well.
Fought in the Great Gnome Wars and actually got caught in a time loop such that they can only exist on April 1st every year, such that April 1st is April Fool's Day. It is their day. So
now, quick for those who might be – the April Fool is, if I'm not mistaken, a gnome as gardeners, but the gnomes that captured April Fool – in a time loop were time gnomes.
Time gnomes.
Yes.
You don't even want to mess with time gnomes.
Captured by time gnomes, April Fool was a gnomish gardeness. But surprisingly universally celebrated a holiday among all of gnomekind. You know, even the
Aquas,
the time
gnomes,
gnomish Aquas, gnomish Dragonus, they're all celebrating today.
Mm. The time gnomes have to respect the legacy of April Fool.
It's true. In fact, they do have to because they live it.
Yes.
You know, they do experience it.
For us, it's April Fool. For them, it's just day.
Right. To them, it's just the same. It's day. It is day. It is the day that they are always living.
And look, I know a thing or two about like spending the same day, you know, with the same gnomes for eternity. 2 months ago in human time, I was trapped in a... 200-year loop with a Gnomus Demonus?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Because
the defensive Groundhog Day spell.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We do have to, okay. For our listeners, for everyone listening, the wanted one over here had cast a spell.
Risky spell.
A risky spell such that they split their soul.
I still haven't fully paid for.
Such that in... They would know if the split soul dies in the future,
yes,
right?
A
month ahead of time.
Yeah. 30 days back. Half of my soul sent 30 days back in time to warn myself of the impending danger. Whole mess. I get warned 30 days ahead of time that this gnomish demon is coming for me. And I cast a Groundhog Day spell in haste to defend myself when the day arrives.
Yep.
Groundhog Day spell will reincarnate you at the time of waking every morning and reset the day at the end until you break out of whatever conditions you set. And there is a costly price to pay afterwards.
That there is.
But the Gnomus Demonus was, no joke, guys, 200 years. That's how many years it took me.
200 years.
Unfathomable.
Of repeating the same day to defeat the
Gnomus
Demonus.
I think 120 of those years were just the Benny Hill theme. Me running this way and
running
that.
Running all through the streets of Boston.
I wake up in the morning, eyes bloodshot, you know, just dry. Like, I want to cry, but, like, my tear ducts dried up.
Yeah. You no longer have any tears left to weep.
Yeah. Now, luckily, April Fool, you know, these are Gnomus Gardeners, not a Gnomus Demonus. The jokes will all be in good fun, so don't take them personally.
I would like to note I did get a question from a listener, James. How did they know to name her April before she was bound to the month of April? Stupid question. Obviously, the month of April was named after the gnome.
Yeah.
Audience,
it just follows logically from the facts of the situation.
Obviously, the month
we want to repeat to the audience. No stupid questions.
Yeah, please keep them. Let's
and by reasonable. That we mean do not ask stupid questions.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep. Wow. So that's crazy. 200 years, huh? Waiting in that loop.
Yeah.
But you lived it. You got out.
Yeah.
Half a soul intact.
Yeah. Frankly, the way I got out is not appropriate for radio.
Yeah.
We don't want to get into the gritty details of that.
Is that half a soul growing back, or is it? Are you staying at half?
So half of my soul that I lost will return after half of my remaining lifespan passes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wow.
So on the date of my death, yes, my soul, my entire soul will be returned if I did my calculus right. It's been a few years.
That's tough though, because 200 years. I mean, how many years in hell is that? For your spell.
I don't even want to think about it because it's 1 year for every day.
It is 1 year in hell for every
day.
But
dying should never be a part of a wizard's plan. I don't expect to ever die.
Godspeed.
A wizard will reach immortality in any number of ways if they play their cards right. As you know, we were actually just talking about earlier today, I do plan on retiring as a vampire. Well, retiring my wizard life to vampire life.
Yeah.
You feel a little vampiric, perhaps, in your future?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm actually slightly vampiric. I might have some connections. Yeah, could.
There are many undead pathways you could take. A popular one among wizards is lichdom.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. Living as a wizard ghost can be fun, but you know, eventually, like banging cabinets and you know, grabbing people's legs, you know, that are peeking out of their covers when they're sleeping, just gets tiring.
Yeah.
Be a vampire. Live in a castle. You know.
Yep.
Have some
haunt a village. You know, or like you know, torment a village.
Yeah.
You
know. Right. Right.
Or a mansion or something. You could haunt a nice mansion.
Steal cattle. You know.
Yep. That's a good way to get on a hill.
A manor on a hill is classic.
Yeah, the creaky gate. You know.
Exactly.
And then you get sick of it. You move. You move to London. You move to Transylvania.
Yep.
You know.
London has a lot of werewolves, but big werewolf population. Yeah. Might be tough to be a vampire there, but, you know, nearby.
Yeah. I mean, werewolves are tolerable, you know. Well, every full moon, like, whatever, you know. The vampires can go out every night, you know.
Deal.
Stay in a weekend, you know.
Yeah.
To have a cup of hot chocolate, right? Read a book, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to be out on the same nights as the werewolves.
Well, on that topic, thank you so much for listening to The Dark Forest, this very special holiday episode. I've been the Dungeon Master, and
I've been the Crypt Keeper,
and
the Wanted One.
The Wanted One themselves in the flesh.
Thank you so much for coming on to our show tonight.
On air, live. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
As always, you can find this show and all previous shows on our social media at DarkForestWRBB on Twitter and Instagram. And join our Discord for live chat. And thank you so much for listening. As always, we've got one last song for you. Thanks for listening.